Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today's show on this Food Friday is about all the little chefs in your life, the kids in the kitchen. Cooking with children is what we're here to talk about today. All the fun ways to engage the young'uns in the culinary process and the educational and healthful benefits of doing so. We have two experts in the studio today to talk all about that. Chef Josh Kroner is the executive chef and owner of the Terrapin Restaurant in Rhinebeck, New York. He's heavily involved in the Hudson Valley's farm-to-table movement and started up a monthly Kids Taste and Talk last year, a free hands-on educational program for kids ages 8 to 12. He helps children prepare a healthy dish and learn all about the importance of good food. Jenny Witte is the founder and editor of Mama Toga magazine at mamatoga.com. She's tweeting as we speak, a very popular resource for Capital Region parents. Jenny is a mom of three, soon to be four, and a frequent parenting blogger for the Huffington Post. She lives in Saratoga Springs and is an expert on finding fun and educational activities for kids. Nice to have you both here today.
Good to be here, right?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page. It's our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But we'd love you to call 800-348-2551. Well, with the preamble done, I'll put this out to the panel. As the father of many, many, many children, how do you get them to eat good food and like it? Jenny, you first.
You have them make it themselves.
Well, you could invest them in it that way. Yeah.
You have them pick it out, make it themselves, serve it themselves, hopefully clean up after themselves.
Yeah, right. That's a good one.
Don't include that part when you tell them about it, but have them pick it out and make it themselves, and odds are they'll also try it.
But if you let the kids pick it out themselves, it'll be mac and cheese, it'll be chicken nuggets. How do you avoid that?
I mean, there's some ways to avoid that. One thing is take a thing like mac and cheese and put something healthy in it. I mean, one thing that I did in one of these tasting talks was that we made pumpkin mac and cheese. So, you know, we put a puree of vegetable, in this case pumpkin, into the mac and cheese. So that's, I mean, you can disguise things. Actually, you know,
they don't fall for the disguises all that much.
You know, actually, the one thing that worked better than anything that I've ever seen is when I started doing this show. You know, and maybe I've had up to 40 kids here. The peer pressure, like all of a sudden, because they're all eating it, they all try it. And they're all like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try the vegetable lasagna. And even though most of these kids, if cornered on their own, would be like, I'm not touching that.
That's
they
good.
All ate it. All 40 kids ate the vegetable lasagna and they all liked it.
Peer pressure is good. I know parental pressure doesn't work. If we eat the broccoli, they won't necessarily eat the broccoli.
Yeah, that usually doesn't work. But I've also found that with the cooking classes, like what Josh does, having someone that isn't a parent suggest that they try it, that works also. Works like a charm. Sometimes it's amazing how easily
that works.
It's
true, actually. I mean, I did one of these classes, and the only kid that wasn't trying it was my own kid.
Isn't that something?
It was like, I'm not having that.
Yeah, knows your tricks already.
Yeah.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. We're here with Chef Josh Kroner of Terrapin Restaurant and Jenny Witte of Mama Toga Magazine at mamatoga.com. Let's go right to the phones. And Jim in North Pownell, Vermont, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great.
Good.
I just want to make a comment, and I don't have a question. Kids in the kitchen are the greatest thing in the world. My mother taught me how to cook when I was 10. Hmm. And I taught my kids how to cook, and I'm 65 years old. You know, I think that getting kids involved with preparing their own meals is one of the best things that we can do. And that's it.
Yeah. Anybody want to weigh in?
Oh, I totally agree. Cooking is a life skill. So the sooner that they start learning it, the better.
Yep.
Yeah,
And I have a recipe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That my mother taught me when I was 10.
All right, how long is the recipe?
Very short.
All right, then you're in.
You take an English muffin, you slice it in half. You slather on some spaghetti sauce, either out of a jar or homemade. You put some mozzarella on it and some toppings. You put it in the oven for about 15 minutes. You got an individual pizza. Boom.
That's something my kids would eat. All right.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Jim, feel free to come over to my house and cook. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a great one.
Yep. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. So, Josh, you mentioned that you have two kids of your own. When did you begin the teaching process?
You know, the two kids are so different, and I'm sure that's true with most people with multiple children. I mean, but my older child, Juliet, who's 10 now, she actually works at Terrapin. She works...
Now, there are child labor laws. So.
Fortunately, because of the family farm laws.
Ah, it's okay then.
I'm okay.
Well, that'll keep your overhead down.
But she loves it. I mean, she would like to work 40 hours a week. I let her work two this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, she comes in, and she's been, ever since she was little, she would walk up and try to cook. She wants to use a knife when she's 3 years old.
Yeah.
You know, but now, by the time she's 10, she's actually really good. I mean, it's really impressive. For example, she decided she wanted to try no gluten, and... Now that she's doing like a month of no gluten, we have a chocolate chip cookie sandwich that we serve with ice cream in
it. At the restaurant?
At the restaurant. You know, kind of a classic thing that we do, a little comfort food. She decided she wanted to make a gluten-free cookie for it. So she came up with her own recipe, made the recipe at the restaurant, 10 years old, and it was great. So now we're going to offer this
as
an option.
So she really has an aptitude for it.
Yeah.
It's natural, you think?
I think so. And then my 9-year-old, she has no interest in it. No matter what I do. I'm like, look, I'm a chef, you know, here's all these opportunities for you to learn, and you know, I'd rather go play Animal Jam.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way she looks at it.
Well, it's funny. Now, Jenny, you have three and another one on the way. In your experience, are there some of your kids who are into this and then others that just, I don't care. Give me some mac and cheese.
Yeah, I think my 5-year-old is definitely more into it and wants to try actually making stuff. But my 7-year-old is actually, he's not interested in cooking, but he wants to try everything.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that so it works out well.
I'll take that, too. Let's go to Tara in, where are you calling from?
Hilton, New York.
Oh, you are on the air. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. I have a 3-year-old daughter. She's a very, very picky eater, and I've been pulling my hair out. She's such a picky eater. I mean, she'll eat garlic stuffed olives all day long, and I can't get her to touch anything else.
That's funny. That's her favorite food.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, I mean, okay. If I could feed her carpaccio and garlic stuffed olives, she'd be happy.
Wow.
That's amazing.
But she won't eat, like, macaroni and cheese. So I'm just wondering if you had a couple of tips, suggestions. I mean, I very incorporate her. We have our pattern. But I just try to, you know, maybe get some ideas on some stuff I can get down her gullet.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and I'll be listening as well.
I think my biggest tip would be, you know, she's 3. You can take her to a farmer's market or the grocery store and say, look, we're going to pick out a couple new items. Just try a few different things. And just say, you know, you just have to take one bite. It's hard to force kids to eat something
so
as much
hard.
As you want to. But like with my 2-year-old, who is super duper picky as well, what I do is just cut up, you know, in little bite-sized pieces, put it in front of them, and just let them try it. And
yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't even know if she's thriving. Like, I try to get nutrients in her, and I'm
I know.
Like, I'm worried,
it's
honestly.
Surprising because you're like, oh my gosh, they're barely eating anything. And the thing with pickiness, though, is that, you know, they'll be stuck on this one food and you're thinking that's all they're eating, but it'll pass. And if they turn something down before, just reintroduce it, you know, a few times, and you never know, they might have hated tomatoes, but next week it'll be their favorite thing.
The psychology is, though, coercion and extortion generally doesn't work. So if you force them, it's not going to work too well. And then trickery doesn't work either. It's a real fine line.
You know,
so
what,
basically,
Tara,
just kind of like stick with an ingredient and just like follow that through with the day. Like, we got these mushrooms and we're going to do this with them and kind of talk about it for a while and make it like an event sort of, maybe. I can kind of.
I also think that making her part of, you know, making it, you know, get her like a little tiny cheese knife or a butter knife.
Oh,
and
she's
a piece of bread.
She's a very big helper in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Very
well, then if she's going to create it, then maybe, you know, it'll be easier to say, okay, now that you made this, it's sort of like arts and crafts. Now you made it. Now the part of the whole thing is to also take a bite and try it. And she might find something new that she likes to have with the stuffed olives.
And just give it some time. Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, Tara, you said that your daughter enjoys garlic stuffed olives. Is that what you said?
Yes.
That
and carpaccio, right?
Oh my goodness, carpaccio, garlic stuffed olives. She won't eat any meat except for chicken skin and carpaccio.
You know, my daughter, two of my daughters, my four and my six, absolutely love garlic stuffed olives. Now, my wife and I have them on hand. We have the occasional martini, and before you know it, they're all gone because my two littlest.
When you need one, it's not
they
there.
They eat them. Yeah, it's very strange.
It's when they like your favorite things. It's like, oh man, that's not.
Yeah, you got to buy double next
all
time.
Right.
That's right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Tara. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. We are joined by Chef Josh Kroner and Jenny Whitty of Mama Toga Magazine. We'll be back on the Vox Pop program in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont. Contemporary American cuisine prepared with local sustainable ingredients featuring international beer and wines. VermontFineDining.com and Facebook. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York. Protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. Larry's Southwestern Sauces. Locally produced Mexican cooking sauces for tacos, enchiladas, chicken mole, and more by cookbook author Larry Somke. LarrysSouthwesternSauces.com and Kern Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, hosting a national symposium on life insurance compliance November 12th through the 14th at the Gideon Putnam Resort, Saratoga Springs, KernCompliance.com.
It's Vox Pop on this Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Jenny Whitty is here from Mama Toga Magazine, and also Chef Josh Kroner, who is the executive chef and owner of Terrapin Restaurant at Rhinebeck, New York, and also the, I guess you started this, these hands-on educational cooking programs for kids ages 8 to 12, and you help them prepare a healthy dish and learn all about it. So what? Walk me through a typical class
you
for
know,
these kids.
I think one of the things that I'm most concerned with isn't necessarily teaching kids how to cook as much as teaching kids about food.
Mm-hmm.
The disconnect that not kids, but society has with where food comes from is really astounding. And, you know, it's always bothered me. You know, people, when asked, like, where does a steak come from, would say the supermarket.
Right.
You know, people don't really put that connection. And so much food that we eat comes out of boxes, and there's really made in factories. And I feel like, you know, maybe by reaching right out to kids, you know, and teach kids at an early age, this is where your food comes from. So I kind of incorporate a lot of stuff. And, you know, kids do want to learn how to cook, so I'll always have a cooking part of this show. You know, it might be 45 minutes. You know, kids don't have an incredibly long attention span, so you don't want to go too long. But, you know, for example, I might talk about, I mentioned I did a pumpkin mac and cheese. So take a dish that kids would like to do, add a seasonal ingredient, and talk about where you get pumpkins, you know, what you can do with pumpkins, that sort of thing. So I'm doing this once a month now, and it's free. I have it in my dining room at my restaurant. I do it either a Saturday or a Sunday at 1 o'clock. So coming up on April 19th, which is a Saturday in honor of Easter, I'm going to do a show about eggs.
Okay.
So we're going to cook some eggs and come up with some recipes that the kids can do. The following
that
month.
That could be dangerous. A bunch of kids and a bunch of eggs.
Eggs are good, you know, because it's something that is very accessible, something we can talk about where it comes from, you know, and that's easy. You know, kids can understand that it comes from a chicken. And
right.
I like that. I like the whole continuity of being able to say, look, this is where it starts and this is it on your plate. And I think that that concept is something we've really lost as a society where, you know, we're so used to just, we'll buy a frozen thing that you throw in the oven and it comes out as a meal.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think part of this is the way society has gone now and the pace of society having increased to some extent. You know, you have to feed the kids, but you also, both parents often work, and it's the lifestyle and the schedules, the more kids you have, the crazier the schedules are, and a lot of times you bang something frozen in the oven and that's it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and you know, the cost of going out to dinner every night is too much for most families.
Yeah. So
you end up having to take shortcuts like that. But there are still ways to kind of, even if you can't in practice, you know, give kids whole foods that are made, teach them about it so they know the process and know what they're eating. And I think that that's important. You know, if you get something that comes from a box and something that is made in a factory, I think that it should be taught to the children what they're eating so they know what they're eating. I think that that sort of education and knowledge is really powerful for children to have.
Now, where can people find out more about these classes? I know you said the next one's on the 19th of April.
Right. And we have a schedule. We post it on our website at terrapinrestaurant.com.
Okay, terrapinrestaurant.com, and that's a fine restaurant, of course. Let's go to Megan or Megan in Massachusetts. Who is it?
Megan.
Hi, Megan. You're on.
Hi. Well, I was calling because my daughter, who is 12, will not eat sandwiches, and she will not eat salad or soup for lunch. All she wants is sushi.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm just getting some ideas about other things I could have.
Okay, your connection's not too good, but you said you'd like some ideas about other things to try. We'll throw it over to Jenny first.
For lunches, is that what she said usually?
I believe so.
Yeah, lunches, you know, the thing is that people definitely, you have this idea about what lunch should be, especially for a kid, and usually it means sandwich. And obviously you don't want her to be eating the same exact thing every day, but with lunches you can really get creative. You know, it can actually be anything. You can make her sandwich into sushi. You know, take a piece of whole wheat bread and use a rolling pin and add some sandwich ingredients, slice it up like a little sushi roll or sashimi roll, whichever. And so maybe that will be something that would be sort of appealing to her, or use the ingredients that are in the sushi that she likes in a different way to maybe help her branch out into trying different dishes.
Tuna sandwich?
Yeah.
I've actually had my daughter also, her favorite food is sushi. My older daughter.
Amazing.
Loves sushi. And I make sushi all the time for her lunch. And what's great about sushi is, like, when I'm talking about rolls mostly,
yeah,
you can put anything in them. So it's a great way to, as long as it's in that roll, she's ready to eat it because it's sushi, you know. And I'll have like a little plastic ramekins that I get for her to dip a little soy sauce in it. And so she's actually grown in her eating habits. And this goes back to when she was 8 years old, where I started sticking different things, you know, different types of vegetables, asparagus and broccoli and all kinds of things that you can stick into the sushi rolls. And actually, it's a lot easier than you think making sushi.
Really? Okay.
You sound skeptical.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, he is a chef, after all.
Yep, it's fairly easy.
You know, I was intimidated even as a chef before I learned how to do it. And, you know, all it is basically, I mean, what helps greatly is getting a rice cooker. But you mix up the rice with some vinegar, a little bit of sugar and salt. And that's your sushi. You know, you spread it onto some nori, fill up the ingredients, and just roll it up. It's that simple.
Okay.
Thanks, Megan. I appreciate it.
All right, great. Thanks. Bye.
Let's go to Sophie in Williamstown. Hi, Sophie. You're on.
Hi.
You're on.
Can you hear me?
Sure thing.
Okay. I'm a mom of three, and what I was just going to say is that my daughter, who's 9, often helps convince her younger twin brothers, who are 4, to try new things because she'll, you know, get in, and we kind of have a game of, like, once you taste it, it's the best thing you're ever going to taste in the whole wide world. And that convinces them to at least take one bite.
But what if it's not?
Then they sort of make a face and say, okay, it's not. But usually at least they try it.
Yeah, it's that sort of positive peer pressure, which is always good.
Well, thanks, Sophie.
You're welcome.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop Food Friday, 1-800-348-2551. Chef Josh Kroner of Terrapin Restaurant is here, and Jenny Witte of Mama Toga Magazine, mamatoga.com, which is a fun website. I've really enjoyed going through
you.
It's kind of a general interest site.
Yeah, it was just sort of whatever's going on with my kids and my family I write about. So
that's mamatoga.com. Let's go back to the phones. Patricia in Ashokan. Patricia, you're up.
Hi. This is mostly a comment. I am a foreigner, and so is my husband. My husband is French, and I'm from Chile. And we have both found that this is the issue of being very picky, whether you're a child or an adult. It's a very particular thing in the United States. In neither one of our countries, children are extremely picky. They tend to eat whatever's on the table. They don't have a lot of, they're not allowed to have many opinions about what they're going to eat or what they're not going to eat. And therefore, you'll have adults that are also, are very diverse in what they eat. And, you know, you go to France, the lunches in the schools are, you know, they have several courses, and they can go from fish to a wide array of cheeses. And in this country, I think that when you make the children have too many choices about what they can or cannot eat or what they like or don't like, you know, little by little they end up limiting their diet quite a bit.
I think you make a point.
I agree, yeah. I think that's absolutely true.
I think sometimes the issue is, you know, you are the parent, and my children, yeah, they did go when they were young to a stage where I didn't, you know, they didn't like tomatoes. You know what? This meal calls for tomatoes. If you don't like it, you can put it on the side. And the way that I adjusted a little bit was to give them a smaller amount of the things that they didn't like. But eventually, they grew out of it because they didn't have much of a choice. You know, it's sometimes that's what it is. And you're not going to be making three meals because your three children like different things.
And that's something that happens a lot. In other words, and I agree with you, back in, I hate to sound like an old timer, but back in my day, the parents put out a dinner and you ate it or you were hungry. And now it seems that, and we fall into this trap too at my house sometimes, catering and saying, oh, you don't like that? Well,
yeah,
we'll also make this.
It's easier and you want them to eat something.
Yeah.
Exactly. What happens is that we have adult friends that when we invite them for dinner, we have to make a list. Oh, Sue doesn't, and these are adults, Sue doesn't like olives, tomatoes, and sardines. And then Peter doesn't like Brussels sprouts. So we have this long list, which makes it very difficult sometimes when we take friends to France to visit with us at our house there, because they have a very limited diet, and it really hurts them in the long run.
Well, I think when you're a grown-up, you should be polite and try it, right? Isn't that?
They don't, though. That's the thing, is that they have an aversion to things that for their entire life they haven't eaten.
Well, you should disown them as friends, then.
Well, thank you so much.
Patricia, thank you for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. Josh Kroner and Jenny Woody here. I'm Ray Graff. Karen in Albany, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling with a comment regarding the woman whose little girl wouldn't eat anything except olives.
Right.
And this worked with my granddaughter, so she can try it. We let her choose a color. And so her favorite color for a while was purple. So she really loved purple potatoes, red squash, or red cabbage, which is really purple, and eggplants that are purple, and so that might work with the little three-year-old. It worked with our three-year-old.
All right.
She chose a color each week, and she usually fell back to purple, but she did try different colors. It worked.
All right, we have nods here. And
yeah, I mean, it seems...
I think it's sort of, you know, it goes along with whatever works, whatever they find appealing, you know, that I think that you can sort of run with something like that. It's like some kids, my daughter really liked that story, and it is a caterpillar story.
Oh, the Hungry Caterpillar.
Carl, yes. Yeah. And so we would pick something from the story and read through the story and say, well, the caterpillar is eating it, you know, so let's try it because he seemed to really like it. And so it's sort of like whatever works. I mean, when you hit on something that works.
Green eggs and ham, and it actually worked. Let's go to Linda in Corinth. Linda, you're on.
Thank you. I taught special ed for a while out in Tucson, Arizona, and I raised two kids. And my point would be that when we teach kids about food and what's nutritious and everything, we should also be teaching them that it's not an art material. It's not a material to build a map with. It's not a material to fill a bean bag with. Thousands of kids go hungry every day, if not die, for lack of food, and we're teaching kids they can play with it over here. And I think that's just like the epitome of arrogance or something. Or maybe the epitome of selfishness. It's a commodity that people need to sustain life, and it's not a toy.
I definitely agree with that. I think that it's something that everyone sort of grew up with, and I think it's the problem is that with young kids, it's hard to convey that message because they just simply don't have the perspective. I think that your point though about having respect for the food and having respect for the fact that it's something that is supposed to make your body healthy and something that we should feel, appreciative of. I think that's definitely something that we should teach kids, that food is not something that you should just turn your nose up at and throw out if you think it's gross or whatever. You should have respect for it and understand that it's something that not everyone has right. A full plate.
And Josh, that's sort of one of the thrusts of what you do when you
absolutely.
Teach the kids.
I mean, certainly talking about, where food comes from and the whole process of food and what food is. I mean, I think that the earlier caller, Patricia, really hit the nail on the head in the sense that we have so many choices now.
Yeah.
And we give kids choices. And not only do the kids have choices, we have choices. You know, it used to be like we ate because we needed to eat and what was available was what we ate.
Yeah.
Which was, of course, local vegetables that were grown near us or meats that were raised near us. And now, we've been kind of exposed and through us, our children, to this myriad of choices that we have. And so maybe by having so many choices, we can kind of lose respect for food and lose that kind of meaning, which Linda was talking about, or was that?
Yeah, it was Linda.
Yeah, Linda. How people don't really respect food for what it is, because it really is, it sustains us, and it should be respected more. It shouldn't be something that is taken lightly. And maybe that's something by limiting choices and saying, look, this is our food. And I think that's a terrific idea in general. And I'm so guilty of not doing that. I'm like, I'm a chef. I'm going to make my kids whatever they want.
Right.
Hey, I'm like the short order guy. What do you want tonight? Hey, I'll bang that right out. But, and in a sense, I have one kid who just ate that up and the other one's picky.
Yeah.
Because she has choices. She can have I'll have mac and cheese again today.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden she doesn't want anything but the her comfort choices.
Linda, I think that also involving kids in cooking the food helps them respect it more, because it's not just, okay, kids, it's dinner time, sit down at the table, here's a plate in front of you. It's that they can see that it takes some work and some effort, and sometimes it's not always easy. And so if they put in the work, then they might have a little bit more respect for the food that's in front of them.
That it's an excellent point, but it's also a sacrifice then by the mother or father who is cooking, because
that's true.
It makes the job that much tougher and potentially that much longer.
And sometimes people don't have the time. That's true. To have the kids help out, and I think that's one way to help that is ahead of time trying to minimize the mess, being realistic about what the kids are going to do. Do things like they can stir something or put something together and put a baking tray underneath to catch the spills, but being realistic about it. And
And there's another thing too, other than having kids cook, and you touched on this earlier, bringing kids to farmers markets or bringing kids to farms. I mean, and talking about how food is made and what this is, and that'll make them more curious about it and say, I just saw a whole field full of carrots. Maybe I want to eat a carrot now. I just, I saw this process. I was at the farmer's market and we spoke to the people that had goat cheese. And I'm going to try goat cheese now because, I have more of a connection of what this product is. And what, and even as an 8-year-old, you can make that connection and say, okay, I'm ready to understand that. And now I want to try it to, kind of fulfill my curiosity about this.
That's a great strategy and one that we will try as of tonight. Let's go to Sally in Massachusetts. Sally, you're up.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I never forgot a comment that Jeff Smith made, the Frugal Gourmet.
Yeah.
He said, don't teach your children your prejudices of food, because your kids might like something that you don't.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yes, and then I married a fussy eater, and I found out later, because he would try things that I cooked because I like to cook so much. So I would try to use ingredients that he liked, and eventually it came to the realization, and I told him, you're not a fussy eater. Your mother told you you were a fussy eater.
Ah, so some psychology.
Yes, well, I saw that, because look what you're eating now. You're eating fajitas and all this stuff, and he would never touch that stuff with a 10-foot pole. And another thing I did with my son, I won't even talk about how good of an eater he is because I'm more lucky than most people. But when he was in a high chair, I would spread an old sheet on the kitchen floor, put his high chair in the middle, and whatever I was baking, he had a bowl and a wooden spoon and a measuring spoon, and I would put in a little bit of flour. Whatever I put in my bowl, a little bit went in his. So he had this glop that he was playing with. And then when I was done, I would just roll up the sheet, shake it outside, and throw it in the wash.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the only time I regretted doing that was when he smeared the pumpkin bread batter into the crevice of my table leaf that was folded down. But we did that quite frequently, and he loved it.
Brilliant. Maybe you can get him a job at Josh's restaurant.
He can bring a sheet.
Well, now what he does is he goes into the kitchen and throws stuff in a pan. And he eats it. He made fried lettuce one time with carrots and onions.
Fried lettuce?
Like, yes, that's what I had in the fridge. And my friend was babysitting, and he decided he wanted to teach her how to cook. And so she said, Sally, he was so cute, I had to let him keep going.
Well,
so he took whatever was in the fridge and sautéed it in a pan, and he ate it.
Yeah, I'm not really sold on the fried lettuce idea, but...
you never know.
Sally, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Josh Kroner is here. Jenny Witte is here. We will hit the home stretch coming up. Get your calls in now. 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from GG Trattoria, Rhinebeck, Hudson Valley Mediterranean since 2001, expanding their farm-to-table catering with their easy, entertaining seasonal menus online for small impromptu or large gatherings, gghudsonvalley.com. Marble Town True Value Hardware, Stone Ridge, a locally owned independent source offering Loge cast ironware, cookware, and specialty kitchen items, marbletownhardware.com. True Value, start right, start here. Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods downtown every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside Proctor's, schenectadygreenmarket.org. And East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals. EastHeaven.com for information.
T-Bone Walker, for no apparent reason here on Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday, and nice to have you with us. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. Here with Chef Josh Kroner of Terrapin Restaurant and Jenny Witte of Mama Toga Magazine and MamaToga.com. And Jenny, you have some events, some classes and whatnot coming up.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the classes that they do at the Learning Center at Healthy Living Market and Cafe, which is in Saratoga Springs, was the site of one of my biggest success stories of trying to get my kids to eat, because my son doesn't eat cheese, which is so weird because cheese is amazing.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, and my daughter was not a big vegetable person, and we went to one of their cooking classes, and, you know, like we were talking about before, that having someone else besides mom or dad suggest that they try something, and also having the other kids say, "Ooh, I love this. This is great. I'm going to try this." And they both actually tried stuff that I thought that they had never tried before.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do a preschool class. They've got one coming up on Wednesday, April 9th, where they're going to make fruit sushi, which I think would be interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you give me a little hint what it
I
is?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I would have to go on
All
the
right.
website because I just realized, I'm like, I don't know how fruit sushi. And then they also have classes for older kids, like a 6 to 12-year-old range. They've got one on April 17th, which is an Eastern inspiration class where they're going to do steamed dumplings, fried rice, and summer rolls.
Yeah.
So it's really fun. It's really hands-on. And like I said, it was amazing. And then after we left the class, they said, let's go buy these ingredients. I want to make the. And they still, it's continued. And I definitely exploit it as much as I can.
Well,
I'll
you
say,
have
remember
to.
That class when you tried this kind of cheese? And They say, oh, yeah, it was good.
It really works. I mean, because I see that at my Taste and Talk all the time. These kids that, and their parents come up to me and they're like, I cannot believe he ate that. You know, I have never seen him eat that.
That's great.
And it's that, I mean, I think it's the feeling. And, you know, there's so much now. I mean, things have changed so much with food in general. Like when I was young, food was a different thing. Now we have these television chefs that are famous, and food is such a part of our entertainment.
Yeah.
So kids now,
that's
they want
a good thing, though,
they
right?
want to participate in it. There's a great program in Rhinebeck in the middle school. They have something they call Top Chef Middle School. So now there's like a cooking competition with, this is, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
Sure.
And I'm a judge there, so that's, I've gotten involved with
that
this.
That must be hard to judge.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's pretty, but you'd be amazed.
I know what you were about to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, right. But some of it's actually terrific.
I meant having to pick a winner from the kids. Yeah, I hate having to do that.
Yeah, but,
kind of
you
stuff.
Know, it's great that they want to do it. It's great that they want to participate.
It's like cool now.
And
it's
kind
a cool
of like,
it's
another way to kind of use kids to get more involved with food and eat healthier food is because of the entertainment value of food. And like show kids some television shows maybe that they can get involved and look at that and say, well, why don't we make what you see on TV, which is similar to that concept of like having them come to me and I make something and they'll eat it. You know, you could kind of get the same concept by watching a TV show and getting a kid involved in, you know, in some TV
some
Food Network show
yeah,
or something like that.
All right, let's go over to Jill in Waterford. Hi, Jill, you're on.
Hi, guys. Quick comments. When I was, and I'm going to date myself here, when I was little, we didn't have a choice. What was put in front of us, we had to eat, or we didn't get up from the table. And if it took too long, we went to bed without supper and had it for breakfast. So, not making the suggestion, but that's what happened to me when I was a kid.
Well, that's sort of what I remember. It doesn't really work that way anymore, at least.
Yeah, that's not what I don't have. I don't have kids, so
I think that,
you know, I just look at kids now and say, boy, do you have it good. But I do have one quick story to tell you, though. When you were talking about cooking, having the kids cook their own. When I was a kid, we went to South Carolina to visit my great-grandmother, who had an okra patch. Do any of you know what okra is?
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So me and my cousins were picking okra, and we're going to have okra for supper. And when it was all cooked and put in front of us, and I looked at it, there was no way in creation I was eating it.
Okay.
It got slimy, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I cannot get past the looks.
Oh, so there's no happy ending to this story? I thought you said, but,
no.
I ate it and it was great.
No, unfortunately, that the kids will cook their own. They'll eat it. In that case, it didn't work.
No, but, well, you're not being very helpful, Jill. I'll be honest with you. That's,
well, this part will help you out. I am a picky eater, but I'm not a picky eater because we had too many choices. I think I'm a picky eater because we didn't have enough choices. There were certain foods my parents made, and that's what we had. And I'm not talking about just like 5 or 6. You know, there were just a group of foods, healthy foods that we all had. I didn't start eating different foods until I was grown. Some I like, some I don't. But I think giving kids a choice isn't necessarily all bad.
All right. I think that's a valid point, and I think our panel would agree, yes?
I think the point about, you know, my parents were the same way. I can remember sitting at my table not wanting to finish the squash, and it was a battle of wills, and I always lost.
Yeah.
But, like, I read an article, I think, last year in the New York Times about don't do the clean plate club anymore. Don't make the kids eat the food because, number one, you don't want it to be a punishment that they're eating healthy food, and that it also – they need to learn how to regulate their own appetites.
Yeah.
And if you're saying, here's your portion, you're eating this no matter what, that's, you know, it makes sense that it's going to sort of create some problems.
You know, I just thought of something. Why not charge them for the meals? If you pay for something, you're going to eat it. So, hey, that's $1, son. You know, maybe, you're in the restaurant business.
Yeah,
you might make some money on that. All right, let's go to Lauren and Troy. Lauren, you're up.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon. I was wondering how your guests and Ray, you would feel about teaching kids in terms of portion control and using food. I know the discussion has talked about how much fun it can be and, you know, as entertainment. And given all that and the availability of food everywhere, I was just wondering how people, I don't have children, deal with the idea of portion control and, you know, when and how you eat.
It's tricky. And I think people who run restaurants deal with this on two levels. One, the economic level, and two, sort of the moral angle of not overfeeding people who come in. And so I'll throw this to you, Josh.
You know,
how do you handle
that? There's another unfortunate third part to that equation, which is the fact that restaurant diners look at value. And when you come into a restaurant, you're going to be judged on your value. Hmm. Value does not directly reflect the prices for things, but it's a whole package of things about what you're getting. And one of the easiest ways to provide value is to give a big portion. And it's something that at my restaurant I've always done, and I always give big portions, portions that are, quite honestly, too big for people to eat.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, you know, that's kind of how it's developed, and people love it. And that's something that I'm very popular for. Now, in terms of kids and portion control, I have, you know, obviously you need to tell kids how much they can eat. But I think for the most part, kids will eat, if, especially if you're giving them healthy food, the correct amount of food. You know, portion control, I have, at least with my kids, is more important when we're talking about desserts and like other things that they'll just eat until they're sick. Whereas if you give them, you know, what you decide to be a good portion of, you know, whatever the healthy entree or whatever you're giving, you know, they're going to eat what until they're full.
Yeah.
Right. I think the flip side with that, too, though, is that, like, me as a parent, I had to learn what the right portion was for, like, a toddler. Because you're making this food, and they've got even the little plates, and you fill up the plate. My mom, who's a pediatric nurse, would be like, that's way too much food.
Yeah.
Because then they eat enough that they, you know, as much as they need. And you're like, no, you eat more. You still have more on your plate. And you're thinking, oh, wait, I gave that to you.
Right.
So it's the idea of learning what the right portion is. And like you said, I mean, they'll eat till they're full. They're not going to, you know, go on a hunger strike when they're 3 years old. They will eat something. And so it's the idea of giving them, like you said.
And I agree what you were saying about you can't force kids to eat. I think by forcing kids to eat, once you start demanding that they do that, you're then putting a negative connotation to their food and to the whole experience of dining. You know, if they decide they don't want to eat something, that should be their choice. I mean, I think that also the whole thing of choices and going to bed hungry because you decided you didn't want to eat something is an important lesson for a child. You know, if that's...
It's tough for a parent, though.
It is.
It's always my... It's a good cop, bad cop in my house. I always said, give them one choice.
I know. It's hard to say fine, or hard to not say fine, I'll make you the grilled cheese, or I'll make you whatever it is.
It is
just
tough.
So you go to bed with your belly full.
It's tough, and I think what complicates that is that, you know, for most, especially two-income families where a lot of the dinners are at restaurants where they have choices, then all of a sudden you bring them back to the house where there is no choice, and they don't accept that. You know, like, I want to have hot dogs. That's what I've been having every day this week, and I eat hot dogs.
Yeah.
Why can't I have a hot dog? Why can't I have mac and cheese? Well, this is what the dinner is tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Every parent has said that, too, because this is what we're serving.
Yeah. but in a sense, that's... As long as a provider of the food, as the parent, you're giving them a diverse selection of food. You're not just saying, okay, it's meatloaf again, and that's what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
You're eating meatloaf and lima beans tonight, just like you did last night.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
And you're going to like it.
Let's go to Michelle. Michelle in the Hudson Valley, you're up.
Hi. I'm so excited for this show. And I didn't know, Josh, that you were doing a children's program at the restaurant.
Excellent. Well, hopefully I'll see you there on my Taste and Talk on the 19th.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in my calendar. We love Terrapin. We're in the local area.
Thank
in
you.
Stattsburg. But anyway, I wanted to make a point. When my daughter was about, I'd say, maybe 8 or 9 years old, we got a CSA share from the area, and she really learned a lot about food by going and harvesting the food with us, and then got very excited about how we were going to cook it when we brought it home. And that really helped a lot, you know, just to learn about a lot of different foods and how they're grown. And she was very excited about that. And it was funny, we ran into her pediatrician harvesting as well at the same share, and she said, if my doctor's here, this must be good.
Well, this gets to what Josh was saying about, you know, even farmers markets. Taking kids to farmers markets can be educational and invest them into what they are about to eat.
You know, I want to comment on this, Michelle. I think CSAs are one of the most important things that anybody can do. It's such a great way to eat. And it, for those who are not familiar with a CSA, you're buying a share in a farm's crop, basically. Yep. So what you're going to do is you're going to pay for this, and then you're going to get regular you know, boxes of food, depending on what's in season and what the farm's producing. And that forces you not to say, I want avocados today, but okay, look, I've got kale, I've got collard greens, this is what I'm going to make dinner with. And to get kids involved in that, that's terrific. You know,
Michelle,
good for you, Michelle.
We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to John in Hillsdale. John, you're on.
Hi. What I found actually interesting enough was that when I discovered the dangers or how much a microwave oven destroys food, even just boiling water, is that I got rid of the microwave. I did that like 8-10 years ago. And now the kids have to, now they're adults, but they had to learn to prepare food without the microwave. You know, when you could boil water in a minute and cook a baked potato in 2 minutes. And even if they're eating macaroni and cheese, they have to boil the water, cook the noodles, you know, make the cheese. I mean, they had to learn the process again, cooking on a real stove.
Well, so, how does a microwave hurt water?
What it does is it neutralizes the live part. What a microwave does is it goes inside the food, and then it blows apart the cells of food.
Okay.
It causes them to vibrate and then blows them apart, so you basically kill everything within the food.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Let's go to Caroline and Sharon. That's an interesting call. Let's not go to Caroline. Let's go to Daphne in Woodstock. Hi, Daphne.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Just don't play piano at this time.
No, don't worry. I'm in my car.
Okay.
If I don't drive, go by the state police.
All right, fine.
Okay. So I'm a grandmother, and when my son was little, I had to cut everything up into geometric shapes for him. And as long as I did that, he would eat anything. So that was one trick. Another trick that was done to me when I was little and I went to camp was no matter what it was, you had to eat at least 3 bites. So I do that when my grandchildren, who are twin boys about to turn 7, come to my house. And I heard you talking about portion control. When a little child is faced with an enormous platter of food he doesn't want to eat, or it's not as hungry as you'd like the child to be, it helps if you don't give everything all at once. When the kids come to my house and I'm cooking for them, I make sure there's only one thing ready at a time. And I pretend it's grandma's fault. She's old, she's slow. But grandma always makes sure the broccoli is ready first. And then there's another vegetable first. You know, next, or then another one, and then their favorite thing comes last, and they have no problem keeping up and eating everything off their plate. So those are just a couple of grandma's tricks. And also, I think that it's important if the children see you preparing the food. If you're lucky enough to have one of those preparation bars, those kitchen island things, set the kids on one side, get all the ingredients out. And if you don't feel as safe having them cutting up vegetables and stuff, you know, let them see what you're doing and what's in it, and so they can taste it.
Yeah.
Stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, you know?
Great.
And
I think
they get very involved with it that way.
I definitely agree with you, Daphne. I think that, first of all, the shapes are huge in my house. I can cut anything into heart shapes, and my daughter will eat it.
Oh, brilliant.
Hearts, just the teeny tiny little cookie cutters, the small ones, and cut it into shapes, and it totally changes their perspective on it. And I think that, like she said, you know, getting the kids involved again and letting them see it. And like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, my 2-year-old uses a little cheese knife and cuts stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like people have this misconception that little kids can't be hands-on, and they can.
Yeah, well, a phrase unfortunately heard in my house too often is, could you put down the knife? So we try to stay away from that. Caroline and Sharon, without the piano, you're up. What happened there?
You know, I've heard so many comments since I came on I haven't forgotten my original reason for calling.
All right.
But I did have a couple of ideas, too, about the problem of two big portions.
All right, we have about 30 seconds, so go ahead.
Well, okay, first thing. Small kids who don't like salad, take a plate, make a salad person. Salad lady with lettuce skirt, carrots and celery for arms and legs, arugula hair. You know, you can make something that looks pretty and they get a kick out of it and they'll eat it all.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, for portion control, first of all, use a small plate. And it helps if people eat slowly because it takes about 20 minutes for your brain to tell your stomach, thank you, I've had, they used to say an elegant sufficiency in the old days.
And that's a perfect way to wrap the show up because we have had an elegant efficiency. And thank you very much, Caroline, for trying again to get through. Thanks to our guest today, Jenny Whitty of Mamatoga.com and Mamatoga Magazine. And Chef Josh Kroner of Terrapin Restaurant. Thank you both for being
here. Thank you, Ray.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
Pleasure being on.
Yes, a lot of fun.
Have a great weekend. We will have you back. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was at our controls. Our phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell. I'm Ray Graff, our producer. Jessica Blaustein Marshall tells me that on Monday, Alan Shartok will be here with another exciting edition of Medical Monday. Have a great weekend.